Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and today is January 4th, 2015. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And sometimes I coach listeners who call in live on the air. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month. And that is exactly what we're doing tonight. Tonight's another live coaching hour. So the number to call if you'd like to be coached about something you're challenged by or stuck in your life is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. And if we don't get to all the people that call in, feel free to go to my website and fill out the form to be coached on a future episode. And you can do that at markmywordsradio.com. And it appears we already have some callers in the queue, so let's jump in and get started with some coaching here on Mark My Words. And it looks like our first caller is Kiel from the New York City area. Kiel, how are you tonight?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in to Mark My Words.
Sure.
So what are we helping you with tonight, Kiel?
Well, I am an aspiring coach. I'm on my way. And so as I'm going through the process of learning, I feel like I'm coming up with some real resistance in certain areas of my life. And I've kind of assessed, I've kind of assessed where they started. But I feel like there's some kind of block when it comes to the way that I see myself succeeding, or whether or not I can actually envision it. I've had a pretty tough couple of years. I got pretty sick, and I've been really battling through that. And because of that, really like on a tight budget and things, you know, a lot of things had to go on the back burner. And so I guess I started to feel a little bit hopeless, and that maybe is settling in. And I kind of feel like in order to be a really great coach, I need a little bit more of a breakthrough in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So I heard you say that you feel like there's a pretty big block when it comes to succeeding. So tell me, when you see yourself succeeding, tell me more about that. I know you said it's related to the illness and things like that. So,
well, I mean, I think it's like just a, I guess the last couple of years I've experienced a lot of hope and like tremendous disappointment surrounding my health and also my career. And so I think that at some point I just started to disengage so that I wouldn't react as strongly to the disappointment that I knew was inevitably coming in the health area. That being said, I'm not as engaged in, you know, relationships, and I'm not as engaged in the things that I'm doing. And so I have a really hard time when I close my eyes and I think of the vision of what I want my life to look like. I don't see it. I used to see it. And even a couple of months ago, I used to see, so my if I was living the life that I always dreamed of, I'd be traveling the world, preaching and teaching and essentially coaching and doing leadership development with organizations, and singing, because that's, you know, that's what I'm doing now. I'm a part-time worship pastor at a small church, and I've been doing that most of my life. And so if that was my vision for life, that would be it. But I have a hard time actually picturing myself in it.
Sure. When was the last time that you were able to see that pretty clearly?
I would probably say about a year and a half ago.
Okay. And as you think about your engagement in life at that time, on a scale of 1 to 10, how engaged were you? Would you say you were?
I'd probably say about an 8, 7 or an 8.
Okay. Great. Great. And then a year and a half ago, what would you say, how would you rate your level of engagement now?
I mean, I would probably say a 2 or 3, but I am actively like aware of it. And so I'm trying to do differently, but I don't really feel, I don't feel the change in the way that I feel or the way that I see things at the moment.
Okay. What is it that happened a year and a half ago that shifted things for you?
So with my health, for about 6 months, I was feeling amazing, and I was starting to see, I have a chronic illness, and I've been working really, really hard with a holistic doctor and with diets and also with traditional medicine to reverse it. And I had like 6 months where I felt really, really amazing. And then July of 2013, I went to California for a conference, and while I was there, I had just a major health crash, and I've been pretty much like on this roller coaster of, you know, crashing ever since and not really making a lot of progress back. And so all of the efforts that I made to get better kind of seemed futile, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it started to feel like I really didn't want to work so hard anymore, because it still didn't get me to where I wanted to be.
Right. So you lost your motivation when you had that setback.
Well, it's been, yeah, and it's been kind of a constant disappointment for, you know, this entire time. I haven't really had tons of relief in that area.
So the setback has lasted for a long time, too. What I'm hearing is that it wasn't just a thing that happened that set you back that you haven't gotten over. It's this thing that's happened that set you back, this health issue, has continued to set you back because you haven't been able to turn it
around yet. Yeah. And it definitely is kind of heavy on the way that I think, because it affects like the chemicals in my brain and my hormones and everything else. So, you know, sometimes I have to really fight to like keep in a positive place about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I think that it sounds like it really weighs on you, and it makes sense, you know, when you have that kind of thing going on. The emotional and the spiritual and the physical piece of that is certainly enough to knock anybody out of their game. So, you know, it makes sense that you're experiencing it that way and that it's taken you a bit out of your game, you know. So
yeah.
I just want to kind of acknowledge that and encourage you to be a little easy on yourself about having been knocked out of the game for a little bit because of it. So,
being easy on myself is something I'm working on, so.
Uh-huh. Okay, so tell me a little bit more about that.
I guess I just always assumed that I would have figured out my life a lot sooner, and I guess the health setback, it's been really hard for me to spend a lot of time focusing on other areas, and so, you know, it kind of bleeds into the rest of my life, and so sometimes I get really, really frustrated that I'm not in the place that I really want to be. I have to give myself, you know, take a moment and give myself a little grace and say, you know, if this most people your age are not dealing with such a heavy thing. And so considering you're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm hearing you say that. I'm not feeling like you're bought into it wholly. I really struggle with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true.
So where else does not being easy with yourself show up in your life?
I guess because I'm so hard on myself, I tend to put, you know, major tasks or major decisions off as long as I can, because maybe I'm concerned that I'm not, either not going to make the right one, or I'm not going to follow through, or because I do beat myself up so much for past choices or, you know, current choices. And so it really affects how I feel about the future sometimes. Although I find myself to be generally very positive person about the future when it comes to my own life, I guess I do kind of give myself the, well, if you don't get it together, you know, whatever, something's going to happen or nothing's going to happen, I guess, which is my biggest fear.
So you said something about beating yourself up for past decisions. How does that affect you? How does that hold you back when you do that?
I'm not really sure, I guess. But I guess it's what has developed this idea that I'm not going to be able to engage well or be successful or attract clients or even attract friends. I mean, I have great, great friends, but, you know, I'm in a church community where, you know, there's not a lot of people my age. And so I've had a really hard time making friends. And I really internalized that. Because most of the people there are kind of in different stages of their life. And, you know, I take it really personally. And so I guess all of those things have developed into this, like, whatever this, you know, what we're calling a block of moving forward in, you know, these major areas of my life.
Right. Okay. Got it. So if you were to pick one area right now to talk about, to focus on, one area of your life that you want to move forward in that this pattern sort of has you held back in, what would that be?
Career.
Okay. So where is it that you want your career to be that it's not currently?
Kind of a tough question. I mean, I don't feel, I mean, right at the moment, I don't have a job. I got laid off right before Christmas. And so I've been devoting myself solely to developing a coaching business. And I don't have any clients yet because I just started the process. So I guess having clients would probably be the first, you know, the first step that would be really important for me.
Okay, great. And how does the stuff that we've talked about so far about what holds you back from moving forward in your life, what's the link there? How does that stuff hold you back from building your coaching business and acquiring a few of your first clients?
You know, I've taken coaching courses before, and I always felt like I was a real natural at it. But recently, I don't feel like I even know what I'm doing. Like, all the things that I knew are gone and I can't remember them. And I guess I don't believe in my ability to, I guess my lack of engagement and my difficulty with believing in my success is making it really hard for me to actually take the steps, like actually do the work and engage in it and be intentional about it. and I'm kind of procrastinating and not putting the pedal to the metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I'm hearing is kind of this sense of I already sort of know it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Because in the past it hasn't.
Which is interesting because I'm kind of betting all my marbles on it. And so there's a part of me that does believe it. But I guess the part of me that doesn't is louder at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And which one do you think is telling the truth?
Probably the one that I'm not really listening to at the moment.
Uh-huh. That's usually the case. That's usually the way it works. So for everybody listening out there, you want to know that the part of you that you're listening to is usually the part of you that is not telling the truth, right?
Right.
So great. So when you think about, like, it was interesting. You said that you've forgotten everything that you've learned in other coaching classes that you've taken and coaching courses that you've taken. What's caused that? Is that directly related to the medical thing that you talked about, or is that something?
I feel like partially. I feel like that's definitely a factor. But I really don't, I mean, and maybe this is me being a little bit too hard on myself, but I'm not sure. Because I really don't want to blame it on that, because I feel like it's possible that part of my disengagement with life has to do with what's physically going on in my body, but a part of it is a defense mechanism. A part of it is me actively disengaging. Like, even when I was going to call in to talk to you, there were so many things saying, you're tired, you don't want to, you know, things just like, all of these things pop up and say, don't do it, you know? And so I don't know exactly. I mean, I had a lot of vision about this current ministry that I'm in as well. And I'm having a really hard time with that as well, because I just don't feel like I'm really engaging in a way that's productive and beneficial.
Yeah. You know, what I'm hearing, Kiel, is not so much, I don't know, what was I trying to say? I'm not so sure, I'm not convinced that it's that you've forgotten what you've learned, because when I ask you to expand on that, you go more towards something that sounds more like you just don't have the energy to engage in it, to get it working.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hidden, and I need to find it. Maybe it's more that than forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
It's hidden and I need to find it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes energy to find it. It sounds like it feels to you like it's going to take an effort that requires an amount of energy that you're not sure you have in order to uncover it and find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true.
Right. Mm-hmm. But what I heard you say before was like, even calling in here, I was like, oh, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. And I'm imagining, I don't know what the nature of the specific health concern is you're talking about, but the sense that I get is that it kind of makes you often feel like you don't want to do stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know.
I've tremendous amount of fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So we've landed on this piece that it's not that you don't know, you don't remember how to coach. It's really about just the effort to put into doing it. So let me ask you this. When you are doing things in the areas of your life that do work pretty well, right, what is it that helps you get the energy to engage in those things? In fact, let's start with a different question. I'm sorry. Let me back up.
That's okay.
Name one area of your life that is working to your satisfaction right now.
I don't know if there is one, really, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is, I guess, a little bit difficult to say out loud.
Sure. How does it feel to say that?
Again, I'm going back to kind of beating myself up because I'm generally a very grateful person, and so I can always find something that I'm really happy and excited about. But I wouldn't say that there's any area of my life where I feel like I'm kicking ass.
How about an area that you feel is functioning reasonably well? It's not kicking ass. It's not where you want it, but it's working. Anything in that realm?
My home, and my, you know what? I actually want to change that. So I've recently started to do things that I never really thought I could do, like painting and drawing. I always classified myself as a non-artist. I was more musically talented and not visually. But I just decided I was going to do it anyway because I didn't want that to be a limitation that I put on myself. And so those kinds of things are going really well. I'm stepping out in a lot of areas that I wouldn't normally do. And so that's going really well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So so tell me, what is it that that allows you to create the energy for those endeavors?
I guess it's a sense of accomplishment for me.
Okay.
I've always been
very important to you right now.
Yeah, and I've always been the kind of person that was really driven by not just accomplishment, but actually actively conquering fear of heights. So I went skydiving, you know, stuff like that.
Wow.
I don't let fears limit me. It's like, mm-hmm. it's a real core value of mine.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. And what would you call that core value? What would you label that? You don't let fear get in your way. You're driven by,
I guess, endurance or like a fighting spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing persistence in that.
Does that
ring for you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. So you're somebody who's really persistent, and you're somebody who continues to move forward in the face of fear and doubt. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how can you use that persistence and that talent, that drive that you have to move forward in the face of fear, doubt, and uncertainty? How can you use those qualities to get your first couple of clients?
I guess the first word that comes to my head is risk.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a pastor once say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And I really believe it. And so I guess, the first thing would be to maybe just, I've been kind of mulling over the website thing for like weeks. And I've gone back and forth with some marketing friends about it. And so maybe just putting it up, even if it really sucks, and then just working on it as I go. You know, maybe just being responsible for it will be enough to say, okay, you really have, like, you got to put on your big girl panties and, like, really do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then we'll pull up. So, great. No, I really love that. I love that. And because, you know, here's the thing. If you feel that being a coach is something that you're called to do, then there are already people out there that you're destined to meet and work with and contribute to.
Mm.
And they need you. They're waiting for you. I really believe that. I really believe that. I know that, for me, when I think of my clients, my future clients-to-be that I haven't met yet, I really visualize it as there are people out there. And when our paths cross, they'll cross, but they're destined to be there. And all I got to do is just, keep putting myself out there in every way that I can so that they can find me and so that I can find them. So I really believe that. And that's the case for really for anybody who does any kind of work where they're contributing to other people, which is pretty much all of us in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
There's people that you're meant to serve, and they're waiting for you.
That's really powerful. I actually just wrote that down on my mirror in my bedroom because it really, I had a very emotional reaction to it.
What did you feel when I said it?
Home. I felt home. I felt like I was in the presence of truth.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Gail, that's great, because it is the truth. And what I hear you saying is that you know that, and you felt that like, you know, that hit you hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that and then continuing to take care of yourself in the physical realm of things, too, you know, to manage the symptoms that might drain your energy physically. Because, you know, there's two things going on. I think you've kind of said it. You know, there's the physical energy drain that this ailment causes you, and then there's the added physical energy drain that your reaction causes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the latter
yeah.
is the one that you have choice in, you know. Pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. The latter
mm-hmm.
is the suffering piece. And that's probably draining your energy just as much, if not more, than
yeah.
the ailment itself.
And maybe even avoiding the suffering, like avoiding the topic is kind of detaching me from, like, really just being better at dealing with it in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Avoiding it. So how does that show up?
I mean, I don't know if avoiding is the right word, 'cause I generally don't do denial very well, but I would say, you know, there are a lot of times where I won't acknowledge if I start to feel worse, or even the method of medicine that I'm using, I've been doing it for a long time and I'm not getting better, and so I have to really make a choice, like, okay, do I keep doing this or do I try to find something else? And I guess the comfort of knowing what to expect at least was enough for me to not make a decision or not make a change. And I don't think that's necessarily the way that I want to live, especially in this area, because it's really crucial for me to make good decisions and really listen to myself.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, too, I know that there are many spiritual beliefs out there that talk about how, you know, the trials and tribulations of our lives are exactly the things that we need to grow in the way
yeah.
that we grow by handling them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that were true, what would you see and how that relates to your situation?
Well, I think I know it's true because it's been true in my life. I mean, I have said a lot of things that seem like I'm totally unhappy, but the truth is that my life is infinitely better than it was, you know, almost four years ago when I got sick in the first place. My heart is better. I feel I have a much deeper wisdom and knowledge, and my relationship with God is, you know, so much better than I could ever have imagined it would be. And so, and I wouldn't, although it really sucks and I know that it's temporary, I probably wouldn't give it up. I wouldn't give the experience up.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great. Good work, Kiel. So what would you say is the biggest insight that you got from our session today?
I think the it's not lost, it's just buried and I need to find it was probably one, and the other one would be that there are actually people out there that need me and they're just waiting for me to meet them and to make myself available to them.
Great. Yeah, wonderful stuff. Nice work.
Yeah, thanks,
you know,
Mark. That was Great.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you know what I'm going to do for you? Cause I'm so excited for you having landed on that. Is I have a program that I will soon be putting online as a self-directed coaching program that I'll be putting on, mm-hmm. available on my website. And when I launch the new one in just a couple of days, and it's called Courage, Risks, and Rewards. And it's all about taking risks in your life. And it just seems so apropos for you. I'm going to gift it to you, actually.
Oh, wow. So thanks, Mark. That would be so great.
You're so welcome. And as you work through it and you work through the lessons each week, you know, I'll be able to see your work. So I'll be able to continue to interact with you on it and give you feedback. So
oh, cool. That sounds so great. So, so great. Thank you so much, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome. I feel like Oprah or Ellen. I'd give you a new car if I could, but you know.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Good talking to you.
Welcome. You too. And thanks for calling in and best of luck. And we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay. So, great. So the number to call if you'd like to talk to us live here and Mark My Words, 646-716-9397. And before we take our next caller, we're just going to take a short break while I announce some great stuff that's available to you as a Mark My Words listener from our sponsor, Audible.com. Mark My Words is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, that's audible.com/lifecoachradio. You'll get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of the service. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And there are some great titles, a few that I was perusing earlier today. One is Emotional Intelligence, a guide to managing and understanding emotions within yourself and others to achieve happiness, great relationship, and success in life, written by Mark West, narrated by David Golightly. And the little synopsis says, if you desire success in all areas of your life, then it's essential that you have emotional intelligence, which is the ability to identify and manage your own emotions, as well as recognizing and identifying the emotions of others so that you can influence thinking and behavior in ways that create beneficial outcomes for all people involved. Studies done in the area of emotional intelligence have found that when it comes to being happy, successful in your career and relationships, emotional intelligence is actually more important than your IQ or your intelligence quotient. And another one is public speaking. A public speaking handbook on how to finally overcome your fear of public speaking and to inspire any audience, written by Sam Siv, narrated by Jack Nolan. Feeling nervous before giving a speech is normal and can be controlled by following the guidelines outlined in this audiobook. So don't be discouraged if you bomb out during your first public speaking engagement. Allow us to help focus on your potential to find your place among the great speakers of the world. After listening to this book, you'll be able to keep the butterflies you feel in check and bring your communication to greater heights. So those again are audible.com/lifecoachradio. So continuing on with our next caller, remember again the number to call, 646-716-9397. And we now have Tina on the line from the Washington, D.C. area. Tina, welcome to Mark My Words.
Mark, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. So what are we helping you with today?
Well, you mentioned an audio book about public speaking, and I think one of my challenges that I've been really, really trying to focus on is my fear of public speaking, and I don't mean in large arenas either. I'm just speaking about me being in meetings or just in setting where there are tons of people and I'm up to speak. I find any opportunity to get out of it, and I'm just worried about how that's showing up as I'm continuing to grow in my career and move into more executive level roles. How is that showing up for others? And I'm really concerned about that and wanting to get to the root of it so that I can move past it and it not hinder me.
Great. Okay. So I'm just I'm a little confused. I'm not sure if I missed something or not. You said not with large realms of people, but then you said in large crowds. So I'm not sure. Are you talking about fear when speaking in front of large groups or in another venue, another format?
Whether it's large groups, it can be a group of four people, it can be a group of 200 people.
Oh, I see. So it's not just large groups, it's anywhere.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That's what I missed. Okay, great. So first of all, just to kind of validate and confirm a little bit that public speaking is the number one fear. You know, when they do these studies where they rank the top 100 most stressful things that a human being can experience, and they survey gazillions of people about it, they find that public speaking is number one. Death is like number four. And Jerry Seinfeld actually has a little corollary to that. He says that, therefore, when you're at a funeral, the guy delivering the eulogy would more likely rather be in the box. So you're in good company is what I'm trying to say there, Gina. and those of you that know me know that I do not have any fear of public speaking. I don't know why. I just don't. So hopefully I can contribute some of that energy to you in this conversation. So tell me a little bit, how long has it been that you've identified this fear around public speaking?
I've been able to get away with it because I lead large teams. So I find great developmental opportunities for others to do what I really should be doing. But where I really found that now that I think that it's hindering me is where I feel like it's showing up as a lack of confidence. So I'll give you an example where I could be in a meeting with senior leaders, and I'm a part of a senior leadership team, and I have to present something. I know the material. I know the answers to questions that I can get, and I try to anticipate a lot, but I literally get physically ill from just thinking about the process and whether or not they're thinking about, am I saying the correct words? And I just overthink it, and it's just so hindering to me, and it just causes me to become very ill. So over the last, I would say, year, I've been more focused on, okay, how do I move past this? Even building up the confidence, I would say, to go to like a public speaking class, doing something like that, it's too much for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you say physically ill, clarify that for me. What does that look like?
My stomach, I start to get dry in my mouth. I'll get headaches. I mean, I get physically sick from it.
All right. Oh, very common symptoms when people get nervous before speaking in front of a group. And how long has it been that you've identified this?
I've always known it, but where it's become something
just
that
more recently, it's become bigger consequences.
I would say over the last year.
Hmm. So how have you managed it in the past?
In the past, I've had other people that I just give them the opportunities to present material for me. If I have a training class, I'll have someone else do it for me on my team.
So you've gotten out of it.
There's benefits to being the leader, right?
Gotcha. So now you're in a position where you don't have the luxury of doing that.
I still have the luxury. I feel it's not fair. And, you know, before it comes off as humble or giving my team an opportunity, now I think it's really starting to show up as a lack of confidence. And no one said that to me, but I'm concerned about how that looks on the outside to others.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense, you know, because as we move up, you know, we become more visible, maybe, certainly more responsibility. We have a perspective of things that we need to speak about that maybe others aren't really as equipped to do. So, you know, it makes sense that it feels like there's more pressure on you to actually have to be the one to do it and not delegate it.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing is that with that happening, right, now the what's in your way is now showing up bigger and bolder because you can't take the same route around it that you've been able to in the past.
That's correct.
Okay, great. So how familiar are you with some of the basic standard techniques that people use to overcome that kind of stage fright?
Okay. You went off a little bit. Familiar am I?
Oh, I'm sorry. How familiar are you with those techniques?
Sound like focusing. So I used to sing, and I can sing in mm-hmm. front of a group and not be nervous because I focus on the one thing and stare out or close my eyes. I can't do that when I'm speaking. So I think about some of those things. I try to meditate or visually think about what's the worst that could happen, but it's not been working so great for me. So those are some of the things that I'm familiar with.
Okay, so you're familiar with all the mechanical stuff, certainly as a singer. Let me ask you, what's the difference? I know that you can kind of close your eyes, be with your lyrics, and focus on your breath, and you can't do that when you're speaking about something with a group. So that's something that's vastly different. What do you see as similar between singing for that same group of people versus speaking to them?
I don't think they can sing as good as I can.
Okay.
I feel like
so I'm
not in the room, right? It just comes off different where if I'm in front of like my CEO or another big executive, I often wonder, okay, are they judging me? Or are they smarter than I am? Or are they going to question everything that I'm seeing or that I'm saying? So I think I just had an aha. It's all about judgment. I think I'm worried uh-huh. more about.
So what's interesting is what I'm hearing there is quite well within dead center of the norm of one of the things that people are most scared about when they're speaking. That I'm going to look dumb. I'm not going to know the answer. Somebody's going to know more than me.
Right.
Is that what's going on for you?
Going on for me.
Yeah. Okay. So what, first of all, how does it feel to have landed on that?
I'm sorry you went out again.
Oh, boy. Sorry. It sounds like we're having a little bit of a connection problem. How does it feel to have landed on that?
It feels good. And I think I've always known a little bit of that. It's fear of that and judgment and critique. But it feels good to say it out loud, I think. I've never said it out loud.
Mm.
But you did. And so now,
how does it feel?
I put that out there.
Yeah, how does it feel to say that out loud?
Freeing.
Uh-huh. Great. And what's interesting, Tina, is I was headed in a whole different direction when I asked you that question. I was not expecting it to lead there. Of course, we never know how to lead when we ask a question, right? But so that's really great. That's really great. So I'm hearing that you feel a little bit of freedom around kind of honing in on what the real problem is. You know, you've got this this gremlin that, you're familiar with from coaching is, the thing that tells you're not good enough. You're going to fail. They're all better than you. They know more than you. You're going to look like a jerk. So how true is it really that – how true are those messages really?
They're probably not true. I don't think they're true at all. I think I've told myself lots of stories, and maybe from experiences that I've had, although I can't think of any, to be honest, I can't think of any experiences, but maybe there's something deeper that has placed me there. I just don't know what that is. So I don't know that any of it is true. I think if I think of recent situations where I've had to be the speaker, and I or the presenter, I was the expert in the room. So I don't know why mm-hmm. I carry that.
What does it mean to you to be the expert in the room? What does that require of you?
Not I know it all. I think for me, it's I'm the one with the material, and they're waiting for me to show up and share. And but I'm spending so much time internalizing just the process of me sharing that information. I don't know that I'm showing up at all, or fully at least.
Yeah. So you're not feeling like you have to know it all and have all the answers?
Oh, no. I don't think I have to have all the answers. I just don't want to be judged for not having all the answers.
Okay. Okay. So where does the belief that you might be judged for not knowing all the answers, where might that come from?
Just this issue of judgment overall that I think I carry with me, just in everything. I think I'm always feeling judged.
Okay. And so how else does that show up in your life?
That shows up in a lot of areas for me. I'm sure both at work, at home, with friends, in several situations I can think of where I'm concerned of how I'm being perceived or judged.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where does that come from?
Probably some deep-rooted, you know, if I think back to situations that I may have been in growing up in school where I felt like I was judged or, you know, and I just thought I let this stuff go and maybe I have it, maybe carry it differently and it shows up differently for me. But I think I've had situations throughout life where, you know, I was judged by people. And so long ago, I thought I've let that go, but maybe I really haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, and this is common too, Tina. You know, we still run our lives in so many ways off the decisions we made when we were 5 years old. And, you know, unconsciously, so many of us would say, oh, I'd never let a 5 or a 10-year-old run my life. Meanwhile, so many of us do it every day, you know. So it's very common. So how could recognizing that that might be what's going on for you, how might that help you in moving forward and toward the goal of increasing your comfort with public speaking?
I think by, like, I'm sitting here now and just acknowledging that and saying loud, I think if I go back to that and just deal with it and then figure out how to get past it, that'll help me a lot. I don't know what the answer to that is. And in those situations, just for me, don't carry that into that situation. Like, be present in the moment that I'm in, which is really important to me. I don't know that I've done that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And how well do you do that when you're singing to a group? Be present in the moment.
It's so different. I don't sing anymore, but when I did, for me, singing, it's a different world for me. That's an escape for me. I'm a totally different person going to a totally different place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, I mean, what's interesting about that is, you know, I sing too, and I know that for me, there's something about connection. When I'm in front of a group of people, whether I'm singing or I'm leading a class, or both, because I often, as you know, sing at the end of a class, there's something about connecting with people that, to me, is what's in common with both of those, even though they're both very different activities. I'm afraid I'm going to forget the lyrics when I'm singing. You know, when I'm teaching a class, my fear is that I can't remember people's names, and when I'm singing, it's that I can't remember the words. but there's something about connecting with people. So I'm kind of trying to make a bit of a metaphor there for you about being present and connecting. And if you do that when you're singing, how can you do that when you're speaking? So that's why I asked that.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I've done that. I've forgotten the words to a song, and I've hummed the entire song, and I still connect it with the audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just so different. It's I don't know why it's a different experience, but you're right. The two is so closely connected. It really is. It's connecting with people.
Yeah,
Absolutely. Very true.
In fact, by the way, humorously too, there, if you're interested in checking it out on YouTube, search for the video of, I believe it's Leslie Uggams singing "June is Busting Out All Over" in Central Park, and she forgets the words, and it's really hilarious. She just makes up gibberish, and it's just, it's really great because she doesn't lose her stride. She just keeps going, and she just belts out absolute gibberish like it was perfectly intended. And it was just brilliant. Yeah, it's just a brilliant way of looking at how, you know what, in the end, none of this stuff really matters, does it? So connecting with your audience, again, whether it's an audience of 4 or 10 or 10, you know, or 10 gazillion, right? It's about connecting and being present and bringing that to the moment, because that's when you're contributing. That's when you're contributing. And what you landed on the fact that, oh my God, they all know better than me and I'm going to fail and look like an idiot. You got that that's probably not true. What is the truth about the people in the room, what they think of you, what they want for you, et cetera?
You were going in and out, but I think you were asking me what is the truth of what people really are thinking when I'm in the room.
Yes. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Are you there? I cannot hear you. So it sounds like the going in and out may have been at your end. Oh my goodness. Tina? Well, I think we've lost Tina. Let me just see if I can still see you on my dashboard. No, we got disconnected. All right. So, well, I'm going to give Tina just a moment to call back in. But in the meantime, for those of you who are wondering about public speaking and how do you manage those butterflies in your stomach, deep breathing, of course, is one way. Oh, and here is Tina again. I'll come back to those. Tina?
I'm so sorry. We had a bad connection and it dropped the call. I apologize.
That's quite all right. So the last question I asked you was, if I can remember now, because it's the memory thing. I asked you, it was about connecting with your audience. Oh, what is it that people really are thinking with regard to you when you're in front of a room? We realize that they're not thinking those other things that you were afraid of.
That's correct. They're not thinking those other things. I think people are, because I know most, when I'm in the room with most people, I know who they are. I think they're interested in what I have to say. They want me to show up. I think there's a good expectation that I'm bringing something to the table and have something to offer. And that's opposite of what I'm doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what benefit would there be in focusing on that message as you're preparing to speak to a group?
I think the benefit for me would be it would change how I'm going into the situation. I'm not going in with negative self-talk. I'm going in already and putting myself into a positive experience when before I got to this moment, I'm thinking I was going in with a already the experience was negative. It wasn't positive at all. So the energy that I was bringing into that room, I was creating myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I teach, because I teach a public speaking class, and one of the things that I teach in that class is the notion that if there is a particular individual or two that are going to be in the room that you're really particularly nervous about them knowing more than you and judging you, to connect with them ahead of time and run by them the things you're going to talk about and ask for some input from them. Ask what they're hoping to hear. So that way you get to address some of those things right up front. And that takes some of that anxiety away a little bit. And then to even defer to some of those folks.
That's a very good idea.
Say, oh, you know, Yeah, like perhaps so-and-so can comment on that, because I know that you've got a lot of experience in this. So, you know, can you add to that? I'll give an example of this. I was going to, this was in 2000. No, it was in 2000. I was doing a diversity training for the general counsel's office at American Express. And I was like, these guys are going to eat me for breakfast. They're all lawyers. And they're going to eat me alive. What do I do? So I contacted a friend of mine who also worked for a large firm as counsel for a general counsel's office and at a large firm. And we went out for dinner, and I said, so what do I do? How do I overcome my fear of talking to lawyers? And he says, here's the deal, Mark. Lawyers know everything. Now, if there's any lawyers out there, I'm sorry, this is what a lawyer said to me. This is not my point of view. So he says, lawyers know everything. And not only do they know everything, they want you to know it, and they want you to point out that you know it. So I'm like, okay, all right, got it. So what I did was I stood up in front of that room and I said, I do lots and lots of diversity training for organizations. And one of the most frustrating things is often talking to people about these issues when they are rather clueless about the importance of them. And I said, you guys, as attorneys, you know this stuff. And it's such a delight to talk to people who are aware of what I'm talking about. In fact, while I've got the working knowledge of the interpersonal aspects of these issues, you guys are the ones that can really speak to the hair-splitting legal distinctions on this stuff. So I hope it's okay if I defer to you guys for some of that stuff during this training. So all I needed to say, I had them all listening like crazy. They were like, okay, this guy's good, right? Because I spoke to their reality, I was able to connect with them. I got past what I was afraid of them.
That's good. That's very good.
So that's what you can do with the people in the room that you're afraid of. That can really work. Go ahead.
I can do that. And I need to attend your public
Cool. It's one that I usually do for organizations, but perhaps that's something that I should put out there in my public training classes. So I might just do that.
After this,
so,
I think.
Great. Thank you. So what's the biggest insight you got from this call?
The biggest insight, I had a huge aha around judgment and the stories I was telling myself, and that I was creating all this angst for myself. Nothing was really, all that stuff wasn't happening. And so I really had, and to be able to acknowledge it and to say it out loud is when I realized that. This was really good. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. So thanks for the call, Tina. I really appreciate it. And we're just about out of time, so I just want to say a quick good night to everybody. And thank you for listening to Mark My Words. And my next show will be Sunday, January 18th. So just go to Blog Talk Radio Network and scroll through the upcoming episodes until you find the next episode of Mark My Words, and click the blue reminder button so that you won't miss it. And so that about wraps it up for tonight, as I invite you to mark your words if you like. If you have feedback for the show, just follow those instructions. But I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. Thanks for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.